Hello and welcome or welcome back to Fancy a Blether podcast. I'm your host, Kirsty Taylor, and this week is our monthly Stories of Scotland episode, and today we are taking actually more of an Irish folklore story about the Giant's Causeway and the story of Finn McCool. But we are turning it on its head, and I am telling the story somewhat created by me, there might be a little bit of creative license, of Ben and Donner, the giant, the Scottish giant in the story. So if you already know the Giant's Causeway story, then buckle up, it's gonna be a good one. You're gonna hear a new perspective. Think of it as like Wicked, but the Giant's Causeway version. And if you don't know the story, then welcome. Be excited to learn something new today. But for now, let's hop into our intro. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome. Or me about to intro the podcast again. Am I okay? Hi, everyone. It's so weird to be back. It's been a while since I recorded because the last episode I put out, I recorded in advance. I have to first of all start off by apologizing for the lateness of this episode. I am aware it's like 3 days late. I'm going to keep it real with you. I'm all about doing that. I have traveled a lot this summer so far, which has been amazing. I'm happy to say my traveling for the summer is done for now, and I'll probably go away again the next school holiday. And I just was seriously burnt out, and I don't use that phrase lightly, and had like a lot going on in life, and everything just kind of caught up with me all at once, and I just really needed to reset my rest and prioritize like doing absolutely nothing, something I've been working on in my life. So yeah, but I'm excited to be back with weekly episodes. I have been speaking back and forth with a guest who's hopefully coming onto the episode on Sunday, and I think it's going to be a really fun one, so stay tuned for that. In terms of life updates, I'm just back from Ireland, hence why this story is kind of like an Irish folklore story, but instead I'm talking about it from the perspective of the Scottish giant, because this is of course a Scottish podcast. But other than that, I don't have much going on. I'm about to start working the Fringe Festival, which if you don't know is like a arts festival here in Edinburgh. It's like one of the biggest arts festivals in the world. It's always a lot of fun, and I'm obviously going back to school soon as well to teach, so lots of things happening. Life's good, can't complain. So yeah, it's kind of my life updates. So let's get into the small wonder. So the small wonder of the week, rather fitting with the fact that I've literally just come back from being away kind of back and forth a lot this summer, is having the first like shower in your own shower after being away for a while and not really being home. Like that first shower you have when you're like home, like for a while home, just hits so different. You like, the water pressure is perfect. The temperature of water is perfect. Like even the type of water is perfect. Like I was in London for a weekend and I love London. And honestly, Naomi has a pretty good shower head, but still it's the London water just doesn't hit the same as like the water here. And like you can use all your products, and like I've been using like a scalp massager in my head and just like really like scrub. I don't know. It's just so nice. You feel so clean afterwards. It's incredible. It's like the best feeling ever. So I'm sharing that out as a small wonder of the week. For the gem of the city, we're going to do something a little bit different. Obviously, as I said, I've literally been traveling the last 4 weeks, so I haven't really been in the city. So next week I will have another city recommendation, but I am going to recommend a place in the Isle of Skye. So I guess you could call it like a gem of the island. And it's called Yurtee, literally Y-U-R-T-E-E-A. And it's part of a place that sells like sheep's skin rug things and stuff like that. And they have a cafe called Yurtee, and it's incredible. We went there a couple times in Skye. It was really close to where we were staying at the time. And their cakes, incredible. So good. Their soup, amazing. Coffee, everything. Great. Incredible view. It's literally in a yurt, obviously. Gorgeous, which is really nice and cozy. Like if it's a colder day, if it's a warmer day, you can sit outside with a gorgeous view. Like it's great. It's everything you could possibly ask for out of an establishment. So really, really love that. My curry in essential, at the moment is my satin pillowcase. I have been taking it with me when I've been traveling. I just got it off of, I'm sorry to say this, I try not to be an Amazon girly, but this was like pre the controversy. I got it off Amazon. I'm not rich enough for a silk pillowcase, obviously. But I feel like a satin pillowcase does good things for me as well. And I've been taking it when I travel because it's not like a big accessory. And it just like elevates the experience and just makes you feel cozy and comfortable and curried, you know? So that is my Curian essential. And now we're going to hop into the poem, which is kind of one that I feel like is just a really gorgeous poem about like the about storytelling and things like that, and just one that really stood out to me as like a beautiful poem. I found it on the Scottish Poetry Library. It's by Donny O'Rourke, and you can find it in his book The Waistband and Other Poems, but it's of course on this website, and it is called Milk, quite simply. And it's a really, really gorgeous poem, so I'm going to read it to you now. Milk. Your custom often, when the house was still, to brew milky coffee and reminisce. Childcare experts would have frowned on my late hours, the bitter adult drinks and frothy confidences. Yet your stories stopped my mewling and continued as I grew. Me tending the fire, you talking of Ireland, more real to your firstborn than the younger ones who slept. Those nightcaps, mother, were our hushed bond, and though for 20 years now I've drunk my coffee black, I've not weaned yet of that rich, warm milk. Yeah, so like I said, that was Milk by Donny O'Rourke. And before we hop into the main part of the episode, where I'm going to be telling you all a story, I wanted to remind you to please follow slash subscribe. If you enjoy listening to the podcast, leave a review. It just like makes my life so much easier. And share it with your friends. Spread the word. Let them know you enjoy the pod. And let's build a community here. So yeah, let's hop into it now. Okay, so this week's charity of the week feels very fitting as I wanted to link it to storytelling. And what better charity than Read for Good? They are online at just readforgood.org. And Read for Good has been raising readers since 1984. So Read for Good has a long history. It started off as Readathon back in 1984. As a former teacher and published author, Bro Girling took a stand against the talk of doom and gloom in the publishing sector in the face of the arrival of the personal computer with echoes of today, just with different technology. Bro invited schools to take part in Readathon, a simple sponsored read in which pupils choose exactly what they want to read in their spare time and ask friends and families to sponsor them to see how much they can read in a few weeks. The money raised would help seriously ill children in hospital. Bro was overwhelmed with the response and hundreds of schools and thousands of pupils set to reading. Bro had deeply held principles around children's reading for pleasure, that children should be able to choose what they want to read, and therefore having access to a wide range of books is important. Their reading should not be assessed by tests or similar, and that all reading should be valued. These all guide Read for Good's work today. In fact, Bro talks about books as toys for children. This was before Children in Need, Comic Relief, World Book Day, and the national curriculum. Bro recognized the power of a school community being given a fun challenge and the natural empathy of children to want to help other children long before many others. To find out more about Read for Good, you can head to their website, readforgood.org. Some of the different things they do is you can sponsor a pupil. If you're a school, you can sign up. They go into hospitals and have storytellers go in. They donate books to hospitals, and they do lots of work in different settings. And they share lots of things about reading for all ages, which I think is very incredible, but obviously particularly focusing on children. So check it out. Okay, so like I said at the top of this episode, this is going to be the story of Ben and Donner, who is a Scottish giant. So the Giant's Causeway story has been a well-known story around the globe, really. And the Giant's Causeway has been a massive tourist attraction for Northern Ireland for a long time, and it is an incredible place. I highly recommend checking it out. I loved it. I really enjoyed my trip there. I really recommend the audio guide. Very interesting, very well done. And I'm probably going to reference things they say in that throughout. I will put any references of things I researched in the show notes if you want to check out any of that stuff. But as I said at the top of the episode, this is, of course, a Scottish podcast. So we're going to flip on his head and we're going to talk about Ben Donner, the giant. And just to start off the story, I'm going to let you know that Ben Donner means mountain of thunder. So that is what this giant's name is. So our story begins in Ben Donner's home, now known as Fingal's Cave. It was a cold, wintry morning when Ben and Donner was relaxing in his home. He was enjoying some peace in his cave when he heard some footsteps in the not too far distance. Ben and Donner decided to go out exploring as his cave became very lonely, especially when the seals were off hunting or the bats were sleeping. These creatures had become his friends over the years as he'd struggled to find friends anywhere else. He decided that he would try and create a friendship with these footsteps in the distance, hoping that perhaps they might be another giant. So, in true Scottish fashion, he tried to engage in some banter. And to his delight, a voice on the other side came booming back with an Irish accent and seemed to join in. Ben and Donner was thrilled. He thought, I've finally made a friend with another giant. His days of talking to the seals and recounting his dreams to the bats were long gone. Ben and Donner had made a friend, or so he thought. One day, Ben and Donner's dad was visiting to try to see what his only son had made of himself. And he was extremely disappointed to see no cave art, a small home, and not another giant friend or foe in sight. His dad was devastated. All he had ever wanted for his son was to turn out to actually be something. Ben O'Donnor's dad went to head out with his head sunk low, thanking the high heavens that at least he had another son that perhaps could get it more together. But then, in the distance, he heard an Irish voice call out, "I bet you aren't even that big." Ben O'Donnor's dad's eyes lit up at the echo of another giant's voice. Ben and Donner panicked. He racked his brain for a comeback, but couldn't think of any at all. So instead, he did the one thing he knew would finally make his father proud. "You talk the talk, Fingal, but can you walk the walk? Tomorrow at dawn, we will find out." Then his dad added, "Only one will make it out alive." Ben O'Donnor was terrified. He couldn't take back what his dad had said. It'd been done now. He now knew he was going to have to engage in his first battle. As his dad set off thundering back to his home up the beanstalk, Ben O'Donnor sat with his head in his hands, wondering what had been an attempt at a friendship had become a death threat. He cried to the bats all night and wailed to the seals all day, but he knew what he had to do. So the next morning, after a healthy lump sum of porridge and a quick dram, he set off to meet the great and mighty Fingal. He set off all the way across the sea. Boom, 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 boom. When he arrived, he was met by a lovely female giant. This was Fingal's wife. And as he was waiting to meet up with Fingal, he heard what sounded like a baby crying. He decided to enter into the house to wait on Fingal, hoping that there would be a way he could escape all of this mess, a way he could save this friendship, and that nobody would have to die today. But by God, what was that in the corner? Had the dram gone to his head, he'd never seen a bairn so big. He panicked. If that is how big the bairn is, how big is the dad? He would never even get a word in, never mind a fight, to try and work his way out of this one. And there's no way that he'd be able to win. So he decided to take off, disappointed dad or not, sprinting faster than he ever had in his whole life, take that third place three-legged race. Arriving back at his cave, Ben-A-Donner felt lonelier than he ever had. And when he looked back at the mess he'd made of this precious land in his haste to escape, he decided he would never leave the cave again. He spent the rest of his days talking to seals and sleeping with the bats. Eventually, after many years of talking to the seals and sleeping with the bats and hiding away in this little cave, praying, dreaming that maybe one day somebody else would shout out and he could have a friend finally, Ben-A-Donner passed away in his sleep. And now he looks on from above at a tourist attraction he is at least 50% responsible for, and sees how people all around the world come to see the precious land surrounding the legend of his life. And every time someone finally says his name instead of Fingal's, or indeed as well as, he feels a little less lonely, as he never had a friend who knew his name, never mind his story, before. So that was my version of the Giant's Causeway story. I hope you enjoyed listening to it. I know that is a shorter episode. However, with these Stories of Scotland episodes, I like them to just be whatever length makes sense for the story I'm telling. However, I thought before we end off this week, I will tell you some geological facts about the Giant's Causeway, because I honestly do think that everyone should go and see it if they ever have the opportunity. It is a really incredible place, and I personally think that paying the £15 for the visitor centre is not an ad. But if they want it to be, I'm happy for it to be, is worth the money, because you get to do the whole visitor center and you get an audio guide for the whole of the Giant's Causeway, and you learn so much, and it's such a great thing. And I would say without the audio guide, there isn't a lot of like physical signs that you can read that you'll be able to access for free. So if you're interested in like going to it and actually learning about it, then I definitely think it's worth the money. Plus it is like National Trust, so you are like, give the money is going back into the land, which I think is super important. But the Giant's Causeway is made up of over 40,000 columns of basalt, and together with the wider Causeway Coast, tells the story of the sequence of events at the start of the Palungian period some 60 million years ago. There's kind of a lot of different versions of how they think the Giant's Causeway was started. It's a very interesting thing to learn about whilst you're there at the visitor centre. And it has adjacent parts on the west of Scotland, in Staffa, and that is kind of where this folklore and story of the Giant's Causeway came from, the story of Fimacul, or indeed Ben-A-Donner and Fimacul's wife, and the trick of the baby. So obviously I'd flipped the story on its head, so I didn't tell you the trick of the baby. So if you want to know the trick of the baby, that is something you can Google, but it is a very well-known, famous folklore story, so I'm sure that it is well known. The Giant's Causeway has also attracted visitors for over 300 years, all of whom come to see the enigmatic basalt columns and the surrounding landscape. And yeah, has inspired many books, many films, many TV shows, and many poems, and now today, this podcast. So I hope you enjoyed this shorter episode of the Stories of Scotland. If Stories of Scotland is something that's like interesting to you, like folklore and that kind of vibe, I don't always make up stories. This was a little bit different. Normally I would kind of be recounting stories from within Scotland that I already know, but maybe adding my own two cents to them. And sometimes not, sometimes just leaving it. And I always state when I do, leaving it to what I've heard. But of course it is folklore, and that is how folklore works. You say things, you add to the stories, and you tell stories. It's storytelling, right? But stay tuned on Sunday for a new episode with a guest. So normally I do episodes with a guest right here in Edinburgh, where we record and I interview them and find out a little bit about their lives and gain knowledge from them. And it's really great, incredible time. It's a great time for learning, but also like a cozy, comfortable energy and vibe, and a really lovely community. So welcome to the Fab community. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Fancy Blather. Check out our TikTok. It's just Fancy Blather as well. Our website, fancyblather.com. And please do follow/subscribe. Let people know that you're listening to the episode. Share it far and wide. And leave a review if you're feeling so kind. I'd really, really appreciate it. And have a good week, everyone. Thank you.